What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Fireside Yankees podcast. My name is Ryan Garcia. To the left of me is Sam Lucchini. Sam, the New York Yankees have just swept the Boston Red Sox. They brought out the broom. I am very short, so it's very hard for me to carry this up. And yeah, man, they shipped up to Boston and they packed their shit up. You walk into their trap, you take over their trap, as some would say. Sam, how are we feeling? How are we doing?
Dude, I'm feeling incredible. This one was a lot of fun. I think it was a nice stretch of games. And realistically, Ryan, I think that we learned a lot about this team and what this team can be. Super resilient this week against Boston. There were multiple times where, you know, they low-key, Tuesday, Wednesday, they dominated, right? Tonight was just straight resiliency. They got dominated for six innings by Peyton Tolley. As soon as he gets plucked out of the game, yeah, it's game on. We're not losing this ball game. We're going to shut you guys down. I do not care if it's on your own home turf. Dude, it was one of the most fun games this year, one of the most fun games over the last couple of years that I've watched, man, because it was just like, yeah, tide's going to shift. We're going to win this baseball game. We're not going to go back home without an extra win in the pocket here. And what are we at, like six wins in a row at this point now? Like, this team is rolling. I think that they finally found their stride, dude. I think that we're here.
Let me tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one sports pick app. It is a daily fantasy sports platform, and it's distinctly separate from sports betting. The app is super easy to use. Just pick more or less on a few players' stats to build and lock in your lineups for the day. It's available in most states in the U.S., including California, Texas, and Florida. Let me show you just how easy it is to build a lineup. Let's look at some of the players that are going to be in today's slate of games. Mike Trout has been red hot. I think I'm going to take more 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs. Press more right there. We just got to select two more players, and I think that's how we're going to build our lineup out. Sal Stewart has been red hot. He'll be facing the Giants today, and I'm going to select more on that one as well. And then Braxton Ashcraft. I mean, this guy is nasty. 3.5 Ks, Washington Nationals. I like more here. And with this nice little lineup here, we can clock it in. All you got to do is scroll down, press submit lineup, and look at how easy that is. Our lineup is now put together. Let's go check it out. I like my slate here. And if you guys want to tell my picks and tell my lineups and see how I'm doing, you can follow me at Ryan Garcia ESM on Prize Picks. And if you're ready to get in on the action, all you've got to do is download by clicking the link in our description, and you'll get $50 instantly when you play $5. Again, that's $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Let me know how you guys like the Prize Picks app, and play responsibly. We'll see how this lineup ends up doing, and we'll report back to you with our findings later tonight. And it's been just great starting pitching. Luis Gil, 6 1/3 innings pitched, no runs allowed. Max Fried, 8 shutty. Cam Schlittler, 8 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 1 unearned run. I mean, these guys were incredible. I think that's where we have to start, Sam, because just an incredible, incredible performance by the pitching staff. Where do we even start? You want to work chronological order? Let's start with Gil here, because I think we've been very critical, but it's time to give him his flowers, because this was a very important start that he came down with.
Yeah, I mean, for Luis Gil, I mean, what we've seen of him so far this year has been nothing but poor. I don't necessarily think that we've plucked anything from his starts that we've liked. But historically, Ryan, this dude has dominated the Boston Red Sox over the course of his career. They have never been able to figure out what Luis Gil is. And he only, what did he have, 2 strikeouts the other night, worked a clean 6 innings. That's what you kind of needed out of Luis Gil. You and I spoke about it on Monday, and we're just kind of like, yeah, like we'll chalk it up, dude. Like they'll lose game one. They'll win the back half with Fried and Schlittler. Nah, man, Gil came out and like, did a job. I don't necessarily say that I was super impressed with what he did. I don't think that the results are, like, I think the results are super volatile with Luis Gil and the start specifically, but we'll give him his credit, man. Like, we loved what we saw with the 6 innings and just absolutely shutting that lineup down, which that lineup does kind of stink, I will say. However, did a job. Shout out Luis Gil.
Yeah, and again, it's not one of those outings where you sit back and you go, oh, wow, I mean, he broke out. This was an outing where you put it in the back pocket and you say, if he can do that moving forward, he's going to have a good season. You look at that and go, hey, against an actual MLB offense, maybe they tag him a little bit. But look, I'd rather Luis Gil be lucky than for him to have bad results because of his bad process. And the reason I say that is because the Yankees aren't going to fall. The Yankees aren't going to be fooled by it. We saw this last year. Like, Luis Gil very rarely got lit up, and the Yankees still did not roll with him in the wild card round. And he's owned the Red Sox, and he still did not roll with him in the wild card round. So if the Yankees are not fooled by it and they make the right rotational decisions, despite the fact that Luis Gil's ERA may end up being shiny, I'm cool with it. I don't care, right? Like, why would I care? Why would I spend time being upset? Oh, well, he should have given up runs. Who cares? You need results. In these kinds of games, you need results. And that's exactly what he delivered. Big-time results. And because of that start, your bullpen was super well-rested. Didn't really need him, but you got to use your best guys. And I think that's how you're able to hold the Red Sox to three runs. So really, really awesome from Gil. Again, it wasn't dominance. It wasn't rookie Luis Gil, but it's what you needed. So I would say it was the third best start we got this week, but
yeah,
maybe the most important given what I was expecting and what we actually got.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I will say this about the starting pitching as a whole. I mean, what did the bullpen have to cover? 5 innings over a 3-game span for a bullpen that we know is just not as great as we want them to be. We know that unit is relatively poor. I think that to end up getting 6, 8, and 8 out of your 3 starters in a series like this is awesome. And for Luis Gil, I think that this is important. I think that it's definitely a confidence boost thing for a player in that caliber who, let's be honest with him, like, the results have not been there over the past calendar year and a half or whatever it is. And again, this is a guy that's going to fight in a dogfight, realistically, in the starting rotation for a 5 spot when the 2 big-ticket guys come back and Cole and Rodon. It's going to be Heal and Warren and Weathers, and they're going to see, you know, who's going to move to the bullpen role, who's going to have to transition to something that they're not used to. And, you know, when you could provide results like that, I think it's undeniable. Do I think that this is going to continue from Luis Gil? No. But I will sit here and tell you, yeah, dude, like, I'm going to take what I got every single day of the week. I loved it. It was really cool for him. And it shocks me the dominance that he's had against Boston over the course of his career, Ryan. I think that is like the most shocking thing of all.
Yeah. And again, it's timely. It's what you need in that spot. And for Gil, maybe it does get him going. Maybe he starts picking up the strikeouts, but I'm not going to project that based off of not getting strikeouts. I understand it's cold. Velo is down, but again, you guys understand how I feel about Luis Gil. You guys understand how Sam feels about Luis Gil. I think it's just fair to go, hey, he did exactly what he did more than I could have possibly asked for him. And that rocks without the future conversation, because I think we all kind of know where that's headed. I want to talk about Max Fried, because I think him getting out of that second inning jam where he's got 2 on, second and third, nobody out, changed the series. Right then and there, I was like, whoa, like, okay, we're going to win. I know Ahmed Rosario gets to start with the run home run. We'll get to Theo Ahmed. But like that moment felt like, oh, he's dialed. He's back. Because he came off a really bad start against the Angels. And guys, for context, second straight start with an opportunity to give the Yankees a series win. Lost the previous one, got messed up in that start. This one, all just business. Just went out there and killed the Red Sox in that game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, so he had the real bad blow-up start, was against the Angels, like the 5-run runs or whatever. Like, he was really poor. But, Ryan, if you go back and look at the game log, the last 3 starts that he's had haven't necessarily been great. It was 5-run runs, it was 3, and then it was another 3. Before that, it was the 2 scoreless outings, which is awesome to start the year. But I think that for Max specifically, he wanted to come out and dominate. And he wanted to relatively be like, hey, like, I'm here. Like, I'm still that guy. I'm still that dude. When you get Max Fried on the mound in a scenario when you're playing against a rival and you need it, it's like we need this win 110%. I'm going to ride or die with Max Fried. I'm pretty comfortable with that. I think that ever since he's put on the Yankee pinstripes, he's the one guy in the rotation that you're like, yeah, we're going to go out, we're going to get a win today. I feel the same way about Cam Schlittler. We're going to talk about him a little bit later, obviously, but Max gives you an opportunity to win every single time he pitches. And the cool thing with Max is that Max shows a consistent ability to go 7 or 8 innings. And again, like I mentioned before, with the bullpen being as bad as it is, it's nice to be able to give you length, but he's done this consistently for this team. And to go out and fire eight innings against your rival in a game where, yeah, let's go win this damn series, dude. That rocks, and that's awesome for him. And it was relatively a bounce-back start because his last three were not great. So for Max, this was really cool. I still think that he's that guy. He's still, like, to me right now, Ryan, if we're voting Cy Young right now, I have two of our guys in the top three, which I think is ridiculous, and he's one of those dudes.
I would have to agree. And to kind of add on to this, I think this is more significant than just a start or just what you've gotten from him so far this year. Guys, the New York Yankees lost Gerrit Cole before they even took a single at bat or threw a single pitch in 2025. Like, I could rank the players that are impossible to lose. Judge was one and Gerrit Cole was two. That's what it felt like. You felt like you could not compete and be a legitimate baseball team or have an actual competitive rotation without Gerrit Cole. Since signing with the Yankees, 2.78 ERA, 38 starts, 3.02 FIP, 5.9 wins above replacement. He has been the fifth best starting pitcher by wins above replacement in all of baseball. Among qualified pitchers, sixth in ERA. I mean, you could not ask for much more than what he's given you, given that he's done all of this while Gerrit Cole's on the injured list. That's the significance of this.
This is Mr. Consistency, too. Like, yeah. he is legitimately Mr. Consistency. Like, the blow-up stuff is, like, even more shocking for him than it is for literally anybody else. So, I love him. I think that he is unbelievable at what he does. And Ryan, you're right. Like, it was so doom and gloom when they lost Cole last year. And, like, Fried was the shiny new toy on the block. And it was like, okay, like, you know, Cole and Fried are going to be the best duo in baseball. You lose Cole immediately. You're like, like, what's Fried going to give you? It's year one. I know the pressure's kind of on. Like, we don't really know. Dude, he's been nothing but legitimately amazing for this roster since he's came in. And I am, like, shook. I am shook at the prospect of having Fried, Cole, Schlittler, and Rodon as a four-man stack going throughout the regular season and then into the postseason, because I'm not sure if it gets any better than that in Major League Baseball, man.
So here's the other thing I'll note. So that offseason, it was kind of like a cornucopia of frontline starters to pick from in the offseason, both in the free agent and trade market. So Max Fried, Garrett Crochet, Corbin Burns, Blake Snell. Like, those are like the big guys who change teams. Fried leads the group in WAR. He's tied with Crochet in F WAR. He leads Crochet in ERA. Crochet does have one fewer start that if he makes this start, he could pass him an innings pitch, but he'll need to go seven innings to pass him. So if he doesn't go seven innings, it means that Fried will have provided more volume. Like, I can't underestimate just how important it is that the Yankees got this right. Imagine if they signed Corbin Burns. Imagine if they signed Blake Snell. I think Blake Snell's awesome. Blake Snell's arguably the best pitcher in this group when healthy. But the Yankees can't afford to not have an ace pitching every fifth day. So, I mean, Fried's just been incredible. It is so under-discussed just how important it was that the Yankees ended up with him.
Yeah, and I think that at the time, too, Ryan, the figure was crazy. Like, yep. The figure to us was nuts. We were like, holy cow. Like, there's no way they just handed Max Fried that much money. We were like, signing, because it was like, hey, like, you know, this is your plan B after the whole other guy leaves thing, like, whatever. And the figure was astonishing to us at the time. It was a record for a left-handed starting pitcher. Obviously, Cole had the record prior for, you know, starting pitchers in general, and then Yamamoto broke it by going up literally a million more. But they've invested so much money into their starting rotation, and I think that it has legitimately paid dividends to the point where you look at the staff as a whole and they're awesome. But I think that as far as the value that he's brought you since he's come over, I think that when we look at the last 5 or 6 years, Ryan, of Yankee free agent signings, I think that obviously Aaron Judge and Gerrit Cole are the two prized possessions, right? Like, they're the ones that are making the most money. But I think that after that, when you look at impact, and obviously the figure is there as well, it has to be Max Fried and the impact that he's brought this baseball team.
Yeah, he's been incredible. And again, just like the world where you don't end up with him and you end up with one of the other three. The Crochet one, you weren't going to be able to trade for Crochet. You weren't going to be able to beat that offer. And even then, if you're weighing like the cost benefit of this, you like, would you rather have Kyle Teal, Brady Montgomery, Chase Meidroff, and I think they gave up Wilkerman Gonzalez, and then like you'd have $160 million laying around. Like, would you rather have that, or would you rather have $218 million? And I think you'd rather have the former, not the latter. Like, I think you'd rather have the prospects and the money than just giving up money. But no, again, I think
you would always rather pay the money.
This isn't like criticizing the Red Sox for getting Crochet. It's just more so saying like it speaks to how well off the Yankees have made so far in this small evaluation period. It's a year and a little bit of change, so we still have a long ways to go. But
yeah,
it's been a good start, and these are the years we need to get all the value from that deal
for sure.
I do want to shine, and I think it was almost poetic that Cam Schlittler walked into Boston and shoved it up their ass. To be honest, like he owns them, dude. He is their father. Like I want to make one thing clear, because I've kind of held back just a little bit, because you know I really believe it's important to be professional and be like, you know, all those things. I'm not going to like be unprofessional. Sam, don't worry. Your heart can slow down a little bit. You're good.
You know me, I'm the PR guy around here. I got to call everybody back.
The way that Boston Red Sox fans talk about Cam Schlittler, let's make it clear that the guy's mom was harassed before the guy ever hopped on social media. There was a comment made about a liner hitting his head, or wanting a liner to hit his head before he hops on the internet. And only after he shoved it up their ass and received that vitriol did he respond. Now, did he do too much? Look, Aaron Boone told him, I think he went off foul territory, was like, hey, told him to slow down a little bit. Yeah, he probably did too much, right? Like, I would prefer my ace to not tweet that much, right? But then he has a chance to kind of, all right, like you go play on the field and let's go see what materializes. It's just Twitter fingers. No one cares about Twitter, right? And he walks the Red Sox down. I don't want to hear Red Sox fans say he's soft, he's lame, he's weird. You lost in the wild card round. Then he shoved it up your butt in Fenway, and you got swept by the Yankees because he shoved it up your butt. Your offense looked like a minor league team. He didn't even have his best stuff. And it was just easy. Just throw strikes. Once he started to figure out, wait, let me just get ahead and let me end these guys. He owns that franchise. He owns that team. And these are two franchises that are not in the same. They're not operating at the same level. Red Sox fans hope that they would win a game in April so that they could talk about Cam Schlittler on Twitter. We hope we'd win this game so we could sweep them, because we're focused on winning the division, because we've got a division to win. We've got a World Series to try and win. The Red Sox have a number one draft pick that you got to go chase after. There are levels to this, Sam. There are levels to this. You can sing New York after one playoff win. We get frustrated because we lost in the ALDS. We're not the same anymore. There are levels to this. And I think tonight was another example of, hey, that gap is there. You're not on our level. I look at the Blue Jays and go, we're watching your record. We're going to watch them when we play them. The Red Sox, different tier. They're below. I look at them the same way I look at the Rays. Same way I look at the Orioles to an extent. They're just another AL East team. That's what they are until proven otherwise. And Cam Schlittler showed that tonight.
Yeah, bar that up, bro. You're good. We're going to PR check that. Listen, it's so funny to me, and Twitter and fun in general is so funny because of how they talk about Cam Schlittler and how certain individuals with these large platforms like to talk about Cam Schlittler. And it's like, well, he's a weirdo. He's a weirdo. They're going to throw things at him. Like, this guy doesn't talk as much as you guys think he does. Like, he has done nothing but absolutely dominate against your favorite team. And it is so funny to me, Ryan, that we get to a point where it is a Thursday. Your team has lost two games in a row. You lost the series. You were at the bottom of your division. And all you can talk about is the starting pitcher for the New York Yankees. That's all you can talk about. That is the one big talking point, and it's the one big thing you can hang your hat on. What is there now to hang your hat on? That Toley had 11 strikeouts tonight and only could go six innings. He couldn't go the eight innings like Camp Schlittler. That Carlos Narvaez hit a revenge home run, whatever. Doesn't really matter. You're in like this team is in last place. They are an ant to a much larger bug that is the New York Yankees now. And it is very funny to me reading a lot of this stuff on Twitter from Red Sox fans talking about Camp Schlittler. Because frankly, I find it a bit disrespectful. And to be honest with you, Ryan, I find it to be really childish. Like these are grown men on Twitter talking about a second-year dude who all he's done since he's been up is own this team. How are you still talking?
If a player on the Red Sox ever owns the Yankees to a point where I say I want a liner to hit their head on this channel or on Twitter, please clip this and say, remember when you said this, Ryan, you're a hypocrite. Because I promise you, it's never that serious, number one. And number two, very importantly, you got to know on your own. You got to know when you're beat, right? You're beat here. This is an ass whooping. Look, in 2025, last year, when the Red Sox were slapping us around the yard before the wild card series, hey, they're your daddies until you prove it otherwise. They had knocked you out in 21. They knocked you out in 18. Not the same players, but the same kind of figureheads. Boone, Cashman, Judge, Stanton. Same figureheads. They knocked you around. They knocked out Garrett Cole in that game. Like, Garrett Cole had to wear that. I'm sorry, he just did. Right? I love Garrett Cole, but he had to wear that. He had to wear the fact that he was the losing pitcher and got knocked around in a wild card game, do or die against the Red Sox. He just does, and he still does. He had to wear the Devers stuff until they had to trade Devers. Right? Like, that's part of it. You own it. You got to own it. Sorry, you do. The guy owns you. That team isn't good. They can't hit. I know Roman Anthony was out, and I think if Roman Anthony was in, this could be a more interesting two-game set. But he wasn't it. And if Garrett Cole was in this series, maybe he's taking them all instead of Luis Gil. Maybe he got a more dominant starter. If. Do the if game all day. Shout out Justin Herbert. I don't even hate Justin Herbert. I like
that Justin rocks.
But yeah, look, Camp Schlittler, man, he leads baseball and wins above replacement as a starter. He has a 1.77 ERA. He's a 1.55 FIP. He's leads baseball in strikeout to walk rate. He's the best pitcher in baseball right now. I'm not saying he's going to finish the season as the best pitcher in baseball, but I believe he's closer to finishing the season as the best pitcher in baseball than finishing the season as like a number two starter, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100% agreed. I'm glad that we kind of got away from the Red Sox.
Yeah, I had to reel it back.
It's literally exactly what I was going to say. I mean, he's the best pitcher in baseball at this current moment. Like the same way that I was talking about Fried earlier, it's like, hey, like, you know, Freed's going to go out there and get you a win. It's kind of the same thing with Schlittler. And it is so crazy, Ryan, like, watching what he's done since he's came into the sport. Like, I think, what did he have? The one really bad start against Toronto last year. And that was literally it. That was kind of it. There haven't been really any huge hiccups. He's kind of just kind of dominated no matter what. Like, him being on this rotation, just it changes so many things for them, because I think that when you looked at their outlook without Schlittler, and even think about it to an extent pre-25, right? So like before Cole gets hurt, I think that you're really comfortable with like the Cole Fried Rodon thing, right? You're extended even more now. Like here's your fourth ace. Like here's your fourth ace on this roster. It feels like a cheat code to have him in this rotation, because he's legitimately the best pitcher in baseball. And I can confidently say that I think that, you know, and we don't know what Garrett Cole's going to be yet, right? Like, we don't know what he's going to be, but there was a point in time where he was the best pitcher in baseball. You could look at these three guys, and at some point in time, they could all be the best pitcher in baseball, and it wouldn't shock you at all, because that's how talented this group is.
You just don't feel like when they're on the mound, it's like, wow, we're outmatched pitching-wise.
No.
You know, and that's a big feeling to have. And look, I understand like the majority of this episode is going to be about the rotation, but like to be frank, man, they were historically dominant. There is since 2002, the Yankees haven't had two guys in Fenway back to back go eight innings or more. Like different era. Guys don't pitch deep into games now nowadays as much as they used to. You know, this was historical dominance, dude. They allowed one earned run
between three starters, they allowed a grand total of three runs as a pitching staff, and two, one of them wasn't earned. Like, this was unbelievable on the pitching staff side. This was ridiculous. This was unbelievable. I understand it's a bad Red Sox offense, and I think they're a really bad Red Sox offense. But yeah. This is a very hitter-friendly park. Like, this is not an easy ballpark to pitch in. It's, in fact, a ballpark that sucks to pitch in. It sucks to pitch in Fenway Park. I mean, we kind of saw, you know, I kind of shift gears to the offense a little bit here, but, like, we saw Jazz get the finally his first home run, and, like, you kind of see, like, the bullshit of the stadium. Like, that's a funny-ass home run. Not to take anything away from it. Look, man, he needed one. He needed one.
Yeah, for sure.
But that ballpark plays hilariously. It just does. Am I wrong on this one?
No, it's so funny. But I just, the one thing that I will say is, like, so Ryan, they're 16-9, right? And I think that we can highlight a lot of their offensive pieces and how good, you know, Ben Rice has been, and how good Aaron Judge has been, and how good Stanton was for a nice couple of spells, and how great Rosario has been for this team. They're not 16-9 without their starting pitching. If this team's starting pitching lacked off a little bit over their first 25 games, they are not 16-9. They're probably looking at 500. I think that that's a realistic scenario. So that group has paid massive dividends to this roster as a whole between Schlittler, Fried, Weathers, Warren, and shout out Heel for this week. Come on, son. Welcome to the season. Let's go. They have the best rotation in baseball, and it is a reason why they are one of the best teams in baseball at this current moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, again, it's just they've been awesome. I do think there are some offensive heroes, though, that we have to shout out.
For sure.
Giancarlo Stanton is start. I know he had a golden sombrero today. Don't care. Sorry. That first game was put on. We're putting on.
Correct.
We're putting on. Yeah. We're not losing today. Two out, two RBI double. I know obviously the home run's what stands out, but to me, that was the most impressive at bat. That may be one of the most impressive at bats I've ever seen from Stanton. You go down 0-2, you go, damn, we're not going to cash in. Damn. We're not going to get the insurance runs. Ball. Great take. Fighting off pitches and then just driving one into the gap. I know this is your boy, Sam, so I'm going to let you take over here.
Yeah, and in that bat specifically, I mean, he's such a free swinger, right? So, like, when he goes down 0-2, I think that you can pretty much lock that he's going to strike out every single time. Like, it is kind of like an unwritten thing. You're like, oh, here we go. But, I mean, this is the guy that, over the course of his Yankee tenure, has legitimately owned the Red Sox. Like, there is nothing that Giancarlo Stanton has done since being a Yankee that has been negative against the Red Sox. I know that, like, he wasn't awesome in the wild card series last year. Like, he didn't dominate them. But outside of that, dude, this guy, when he's gone to Fenway Park, turns into, like, the greatest. Like, he turns into? Giancarlo Stanton goes to Fenway, turns into Thrag. Like, he goes,
we got to do it. We got
to
do it.
He goes to Fenway and he turns into Thrag. Like, he is unstoppable. He is a force. He is a mammoth of a human being. And listen, man, we're creeping, bro. Give me like 40 more and we'll get you into the hall. But, like, it doesn't get any better to see a Giancarlo Stanton homer over the Green Monster. That's just absolutely tanked. Nothing makes me more giddy inside like a little kid than a Giancarlo Stanton homer over the Monster. This guy, like, he rocks, dude. And you know what? You know what, Ryan? He low-key needed this. Like, Stanton actually really, really needed that game because he has sputtered for 2 weeks. Like, he had a really hot start. But after that, dude, he was low-key kind of a hole in their lineup. But he needed that, and he carried them to a win on Tuesday, and it was awesome. And, yeah, I mean, good for him, dude, legitimately. He's still a wrecking ball in that offense.
Again, dude. Walking your trap, take over your trap, man. That's what Giancarlo Stanton
turns into Thrag, bro.
Dude, he's walks in there. You got like Connelly Early punching the skull, and he's like, damn, my hand hurts. I choose death. I said it last. Actually, I said this after the Angels series because we were still a little bitter. We weren't giving out real Aspen vodka.
No, yeah.
He spent like three straight podcasts giving it out to various.
Just talking about, I give one to you, I give one to Chris. Like, it was ridiculous what we were doing. Yeah, it was nuts.
I think I gave one to Thrag.
Yeah.
And like, he deserved it. Sorry, he just did.
No, for sure.
The Yankees coach from that series, I think I might have still would hunt him.
Vulture might chop, bro.
Yeah, man.
Vulture-Mite Chop.
But, I mean, John Carl Stanton, it's the Vulture-Mite Chop for him in fucking Fenway, dude. He owns them. He owns them. And also, like, awesome, as you mentioned, he kind of needed that. He needed that. Mm-hmm. I will say one guy who, like, didn't need to have a good series, but did, and then Rosario. I mean, that three-run home run, the little chest pound. Dude, he gets me hyped, man. Like, every time he hits a home run, it's a pimp job because it's an absolute piss missile. Yeah, it does. It does.
And you know what's awesome about this series, Ryan? I think that today was far more of a collective offensively between Judge and Bellinger and the Jazz home run, and it was kind of a collective. Tuesday was Stanton, and it was four RBIs from Stanton. Wednesday was Rosario, and four RBIs from Rosario because he had the three-run home run and had the sacrifice fly. Yo, listen, I saw a tweet today, and it was, like, the greatest tweet ever.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, if you mashed the, like, Amed Rosario's bat and Ryan McMahon's glove, you would have, like, the perfect third baseman.
You'd have a superstar.
Like, you would literally have Alex Rodriguez. Like, that would rock. But, like, dude, it's Amed Rosario is such an underrated asset for this team, and he's been so great for this team early on. I mean, they went through some real weird offensive spells where they could not get anything going whatsoever. And they kind of inserted him in to just kind of be a platoon guy. But now he's a dude that they're playing every single day. They're going to lead him off. He low-key looks like 25 Grisham.
That's a crazy comparison.
He low-key looks like 25 Grisham and is like just going to start all year for them.
So his bat speed's up to a career high, 74.2 miles per hour. It's up a mile per hour. Couple of other things I track with that stuff to make sure, like, hey, is this real or is this kind of like a little fugazi? Mm-hmm. I don't know how people pronounce it. Fast swing rate, 29.9%. That's any swing at or above 75 miles per hour. This year, 50.5%. Yeah, so I would say I'm gonna take a guess here, Sam, and say that he's swinging the bat hotter. Also, sprint speeds. His sprint speed dropped to the 51st percentile in 2025. It's up to the 87th percentile in 2026. He's moving a little bit. There was a ground ball. He didn't beat it out, but I was like, damn, he almost got there. He still got it. Yeah, I just kind of assumed he lost it because, you know, you're 30. You're not former top prospect in the sport, Amed Rosario.
Yeah.
You're like a 30-year-old platoon guy. I was just kind of like, all right, you know, he lost. It's whatever. He's not here for his speed. He's still got wheels, man. He still can move a little bit. So I think that's a nice development. He's been awesome, man. He's been sick. And
okay, here's the question that I have about Amed Rosario. How long is Amed Rosario just a platoon guy?
Because
I think, honestly, the glove is not good at third base. Like, we know that the glove is not good at third base. But if Ryan McMahon just continues to just scuffle at the plate, like, when does it become a point where we're like, yeah, like, I actually think we're just going to play Amed 80% of the time?
Honest to God, dude, I think if Amed Rosario gets some matchups against righties who can't, like, so he got a couple righties who, I mean, one of them is Mark Leiter Jr. I'm not going to say he has bad numbers against righties. I'm just going to say he's a bad pitcher. This is not a Mark Leiter Jr. podcast.
Hell no.
You guys were looking forward to
it. Absolutely not.
It's not that.
No.
But, like, so even Aaron Savali. Like, Aaron Savali has reverse splits. So he has to face a guy who's known for getting righties out and, like, consistently face those guys and consistently beat those guys. And not even consistently beat them in the sense of, like, he's got to kill them or crush them, but he's got to be solid against them.
Right.
Because what you can't have happen is that you're playing him against, why can't I think of a good example? Luis Castillo. Luis Castillo's like one of your typical, like, he's going to get righties out. He struggles against lefties. You can't have a situation where Amed Rosario's playing against those kinds of guys and going 0-3, 0-3, 1-3, 0-3, 0-3. And they like swing at pitches out of zone. Like, you can't have that. So he has to prove he can hit those guys. But it's also like on the flip side, like, you obviously know McMahon's defense is very valuable. And he's very important on that side of the ball, but it also is kind of like, hey, man, you're not going to just like sleepwalk your way to playing 150 games this year. If you don't turn around, we got options.
Right.
You know, and I like that. I like that they've got, you know, it's not like, this is not personal, it's business. Like, I don't like have an outward or personal disdain for Ryan McMahon. It's just more so like, if you're not going to hit, you know, you need backup options. That exists for everybody on the roster. You know, like, if Caballero were to hit and Volpe weren't to hit, we'd all call for Caballero to start. If Volpe and Caballero are hitting and Jazz isn't hitting, I'm going to call for Jazz to lose playing time, especially against lefties. If Mick isn't hitting and Rosario's hitting, I'm going to call for Rosario to hit. If the inverse happens, I'm going to call for McMahon to get at bats against lefties. You know, this is a team that has enough options to not have a completely terrible starter who's not doing anything at the plate, not showing any signs of life, and they can keep getting their 384 at bats a game. They've had teams like that. You can't win like that. You've got to have options. So I hope that continues to be the case. And I think Rosario does present a real threat to Ryan McMahon.
Yeah, for sure. I do think, and what I like about this roster a lot, Ryan, is kind of what you mentioned, that like you can look at every single position, or not every single position, but certain positions to an extent where if somebody's struggling, you can swap them out for a different guy. So that is what they're blessed with now, with this incredible depth on their bench. Like, and that question I feel like is going to come up even more once like an Anthony Volpe comes back, because like, all right, well, like, and Cabby's been really good recently. So it's like, well, like, are we going to sit down Cabby right now? Or are we just going to keep rolling with Cabby or go with Volpe? Like, those questions are only going to become louder. And I think that with McMahon struggling and Rosario playing as well as he is, I think that he will throw his hat in the ring as far as, hey, like, I need more ABs here. And he's gotten them, and he's produced for this Yankee team.
Agreed. And again, just an awesome series from Ahmed Rosario. Anybody else you want to shout out? Because I do want to talk a little bit about Gerrit Cole, and I have actually a surprise person we're talking about.
Do you?
Like 10 seconds.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Anybody else that I want to shout out? I'm going to shout out Big Head. Shout out Hedrick. He rocks. He gave up the one other run the other night. Shout out Bednar, 3 straight games.
Yep.
He rocks. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I was really scared about him tonight because
yes, I was too.
For them to see a guy for a third time in a save scenario, I was really scared about it, but we were cool. He mopped them up this week. He rocked. Shout out Belly, clutch hit today. Shout out 99, added on today. And you're going to be so surprised about who I'm about to shout out.
I'm ready for this.
You're going to be so surprised.
I'm ready for this. No, I'm ready. I know.
And I think this might be the launching point, dude. I think we might be here.
Yep.
A couple weeks ago, I dug into this guy. I dug into him and just started dunking on him. Now I think that we're at a point where, hey, man, are we awake? Welcome to the season. Jazz Chisholm Jr., welcome back, dude. Jazz Chisholm Jr., we're alive. 2-knock night the other night. First homer gets on the board today. Playing great defense over there at second base. I think we're alive. I think we might be alive, and it might be a launching point. I don't want to get there yet because you got to show me a little bit more, but I think that for a player like Jazz in a rivalry game like this to pick up your first home run and to shut up that one dude on Twitter, I think that this is great for him. So shout out Jazz, dude. Seriously.
Would agree. I think he deserves his flowers. Incredible to get that off the board. Just get that homer off the board. And ended up being a huge run for this team. Like that is what you needed so badly against Payne Tolley, who was just electric tonight.
Oh my God.
Like, oh my God. You needed that, man.
If Jazz didn't hit that home run off of Tolley, I thought he was gonna go.
He could have gone, dude. He looked like a guy who could have gone nine after the
Well,
first
he struck at the first five. So and it was just 98, 98, 98.
Yep.
And it was like, wow, they can't even catch up. Like they're dead. Like, this is not happening tonight. Like, they lost this, like, not lost the series, but they lost the game. Like, it was never going to happen.
It was incredible for him to have that home run off a guy who was looking. He was so cold and Tolley was so hot. And it just one of those baseball moments, man.
This is the Jazz Jr. experience.
That
is literally the Jazz Jr. experience. You are so freezing cold, and it's literally heat miser, snow miser, right? Like, you were like bottom of the earth, like you're freezing cold, and then you get up to the sun. That is literally Jazz Chisholm Jr.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Gerrit Cole? I know that you had a fun little adventure today.
Yeah, guys, I got to go drive. I got to go drive to the Valley. Shout out the Hudson Valley Renegades.
Shout out,
dude. Got a shout out. Gerrit Cole, like, just showman, you know, going out there, doing his thing, getting the 4 strikeouts, knowing he gave up 2 runs, gave up a home run. there's some bad defense behind him. It kind of sucks. I think he could have gotten five, and he could have gotten five up downs and maybe pitch into the six. Like, he was relatively efficient. Like, he was just throwing strikes and just attacking people and challenging. He did not look like somebody who was particularly interested in messing around. He wanted to be out there as long as humanly possible. Sitting around 94, 96, second rehab start down. Assuming, so if Boone reiterated again that Rodon will likely be back before Cole, I'm assuming it's going to be three rehab starts for Rodon because that's what they reported. I'm going to assume they stick to that. And Cole's going to get three more is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might go, well, wouldn't that bring him back before? No, because Cole, like, Rodon's going to go through one. Then we're going to have to wait 4 to 5 days. Cole goes. So I think we might see these two come back either in the same week or, like, a week apart, which is kind of huge for this rotation. But, like, that's that. I just wanted to note that Cole's velocity looks pretty good for where he's at in his rehabilitation process. And tinkering around some sinkers, some changeups, like, just looked like Gerrit Cole. Like, it was really awesome, actually. It was incredible.
Was the overhead windup still there?
Yep. Still there.
Did he shave?
I think he's got a little scruff going. It's not like a full beard. It's kind of like what I got, like, you know, not like.
So it's
mind,
it's rolling,
like, you know,
a little bit.
He didn't shave his face
a little bit.
Is the big win here. He didn't shave his face.
I kind of want to see the beard, and I'd need to see the overhead thing in a real MLB game. I think that rocks.
I do not want a clean shaven Gerrit Cole. Even if it's just a scruff, like, I just can't have. I want bearded Cole. I need to see that in my life. That's the reason.
Yeah,
that's
for
like,
sure.
That is like 80% of the reasons why you get rid of the beard rule. It's for Gerrit Cole. That's the only player. And, like, I guess at the time, Devin Williams.
2019 Gerrit Cole, dude.
Shit. 2019 Gerrit Cole. I'm so excited to see Gerrit Cole in the big leagues. I want to surprise you real quick. Just real quick, super quick, then Aspen Vodka player and series recap. Do you know who pitched today?
Do I know who pitched today?
Yes. Do you know who pitched today?
You going to give me a hint?
Wait.
No, I do know who pitched today. Did Wemby pitch today? Wemby
sat 100.
Today. Oh, Wemby.
He's got a sinker now.
Oh, Wemby. Oh,
43% whiff rate, 8 strikeouts today, 1 walk.
Oh, Wemby. Holy shit. Guys, we're talking about Carlos Segrande, by the way.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm referring to him as Wemby. I'm not saying his name. That rocks, dude. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, like, what is that second half, right? I think you're looking at second half probably. I don't think he'll start. I think he'll definitely start. Dude, I think that he gives you, like, perfect setup guy.
Yeah.
He gives you perfect setup guy. And I think that, like, dude, their bullpen's going to be drastically different from what it is right now because they're going to slot him in. And then I'm interested to see with what they do with the rest of their starters as far as if somebody gets pushed to a different role or if they deal somebody out. But I think that you'll see Legrandhe, like, I think that Legrandhe down the stretch and into the postseason will be their setup, man.
Yep.
He's awesome. Yep.
And, you know, Elmer's gone off to a great start. Legrandhe, if he can, he's dealt with some walk issues early on AAA, which, like, that's kind of what the Carlos Legrandhe experience is. If you get it dialed in, I think we're going to be in a really good spot with Legrandhe. Want to wrap with a couple things. Start with Aspen Vodka, player of the series, brought to you by Aspen Vodka. Shout out Aspen Vodka, official partner of Fireside Yankees. Sam, I'm looking, I need an espresso martini now. I need it like the way that the Green Goblin stares at the mask. That's what, like, an empty espresso martini cup looks like to me. But give me your Aspen Vodka player of the series.
Yeah, and we're recording this mad late, so you would be up like mad late. You'd be like raging.
Yep.
This is going to surprise you. This is going to surprise you.
Catch me off guard.
I'm going to be so honest with you. I don't think they don't win that game tonight if Josh Hamilton Jr. hit that home run.
I like that. He also had the two hits. He had a good series.
They don't win that game tonight if he doesn't, like, nip Tolley. I think that Tolley then goes, like, 6-1 hit ball. Like, that is what he looked like tonight. And I think that for a young guy, getting nipped by Jazz was huge for the team, and I think it was huge for Jazz as well. And overall, he had a good series, man. Whether it was on the defensive side of the ball, he made some great defensive plays. I like to see that the confidence is sort of coming back at the dish for Jazz. And then the home run today was just kind of sweet and just kind of topped it all off. So shout out Jazz, man. I think that this could be a sign of things to come for him. And he is my Aspen Vodka Player of the Week. Definitely not an obvious one, but I slid everybody a little curveball.
Yeah, man, and you know that was a really I feel like that's a really good pick. I like that pick. I think it's also like a feel good moment for Jazz in terms of like this series he needed it and he got
right.
it. I physically cannot pick between Max Fried and Cam Schlettler here. I can't. So I'm just gonna do what I've thought about doing at times and have chosen not to. Yo, Matt Blake. Aspen Vodka Player of the Series, dude. Like what? Goated. Like, dude,
that is.
Oh my god, man! I mean, yeah. Every single year, I have questions about how the personnel and this pitching staff are going to function, and every single year they find a way to get as much juice as humanly possible from this group. It's impressive. It's incredible. Matt Blake deserves a ton of credit. Sam Breen, the director of pitching development, will also get a Aspen Vodka Player of the Series because oftentimes Matt Blake gets the highlights, and he should, but Sam Breen is just kind of the guy who no one ever talks about, and he's actually the one who hired Matt Blake. They were both, he recommended Matt Blake to the organization, so shout out Sam Breen. The Yankees pitching development rocks. Max Fried has been even better with the Yankees than he was his last few years with the Braves. Cam Schlettler was a complete non-prospect out of the draft who... Have you seen the video of him throwing in single A?
Did I saw it earlier today? It was like 89. The mechanics look so bad.
Oh, he looks horrible. He looks so bad.
Like no disrespect. Like the mechanics legitimately look horrible.
I'm sure he'd say the same thing, right? Yeah, like, I'm sure he'd say it's crazy. He looks horrendous.
He was like all upper body. Oh, for dude, a really like tall, lanky dude, he was all upper body. Which was insane.
The arm slot was like ugly too. It was ugly. Terrible. It's an ugly, ugly, terrible. Ugly look. But hey, man, I'm going to say, like, just he's gotten so much better. Brent Hedrick was a waiver claim. The Yankees got a waiver claim from the Twins. We shouted him out last episode. Yeah. But, yeah. That was one hell of a series. I'm going to bring it out one more time. And then, look, man, it's April, so we're on to the next one. Look, this is the same way as sweeping the Royals, right? You face a bad team, you should beat up on a bad team. Yankees are going to play the Astros for 3 games in Houston. No off days in between, so we're just straight into it. Astros have been off to a bad start, too, but at least the Astros are in offense. They do have one thing that, like, there's one thing that just kind of scares the shit out of me, and it's Jordan Alvarez, who's like the best hitter in the world right now. But it'll be Will Warren versus Lance McCullers Jr., Ryan Weathers versus Mike Burrows, and Luis Gil versus Spencer Arrighetti. Ryan Weathers with the dad strengths. Congratulations to the Weathers family on the birth of their child. That's awesome. Sam, series predictions. What you got for me?
Let's get 2-1. I think the heel stuff kind of leans off. You know, I don't envision Luis Gil coming out and shoving against Houston Astros. But I think that we like what we've seen from Weathers and Warren as far as early in this year. I think that they take care of business the first 2 games. And I think that once you get to game 3, you lose that. It's unfortunate, but it's very hard for me to pick Luis Gil on start day. Like it is very That's hard fair. For me to do that, right? Even though the Astros have been unholy awful this season. I'm going to take them the first 2, and these are our, you know, 3 and 4 guys. It's currently constructed. But I'll take them in the first 2. I think they lose Sunday.
Yeah, this is, I think my prediction is that they will also take 2 out of 3, but it's going to be a slugfest. Like this is going to be, we're going to be like, damn, this staff sucked this series series because hitters ballpark. The Astros also can't pitch. Eniel De Los Santos has 3 saves for them already. That tells you a lot about where they're at as a pitching staff. Their rotation is Mike Burrows, Spencer Arrighetti, Ryan Weiss, Peter Lambert, who did have a great start in his last time out, and Lance McCullers Jr. Holy cow, can none of these guys pitch? Peter Lambert might be able to pitch, but we're not even getting Peter Lambert. So, Jordan Alvarez is the best hitter in the world right now. That's what he looks like. He's got 11 home runs. My prediction, we take 2 out of 3, and Jordan Alvarez hits the 3rd furthest home run in the history of Minute Maid Park.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
I love
that. I'm not sure. Well, you love that now. You're not going to love it when it happens.
That's true.
And I'm not loving this either.
And do we have to end the show after this? Because I'm about to say something that is so messed up. He's like low-key like one of my favorite hitters in the sport to watch.
I'm going to break your brain here.
Yeah, please.
To start the season, he has a lower strikeout rate than Jacob Wilson,
yeah,
Xavier Edwards, and Stephen Kwan.
I know. Yeah. What is it like? Is it like, isn't it like 2% of the time or something?
No, it's 9.3%. 9.3%.
So it's like, so when you look at the guys that are in the, this is Fireside Baseball episode now. So when you look at the guys that are in the top five of home runs, they're all, there was a point in time, I think it was last week, they were all double-digit strikeout guys. So, like, Judge was at, like, 20. Trout was at 20. Like, who else is up there? Like, Murakami's, like, was up at 20-something, right? Alvarez was at 9. Like, he does not strike out. This is, he's going to be MVP 3 at the end of the year, Ryan. I think he's going to be MVP 3. I think you're going to look at another, unless it's Ben Rice. But I think you're going to look at another, like, Judge, Witt, and then I think Yordan is MVP 3 this year.
Yeah.
He rocks,
yeah, he's ridiculous, and I'm scared.
They should trade him.
I'm scared of him.
Yeah, they should trade him. I'm not joking.
Trade Yordan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forget that.
He's got 2 years left?
I kind of forgot that they've... No, didn't he sign an extension?
No.
He did? No, he signed it. Well, it runs through 2028, so you are right that he... Huh, wow, dude, it's been 3 years since...
Yeah. He's got, dude, he's got 2 years left.
Crisis. Oh, my God.
He's got 2 years left. They should trade him right now. Maybe not right now, but I think that there's a possibility to trade him this winter.
I have a better idea for you.
Go ahead.
So, Giancarlo Stanton and Yordan Alvarez, I think, are free agents the same year. So, what do you think about that one?
And just sign... No, because that's Judge. Because that's like Judge DH years, right? Like, it's like kind of like baked in.
Dude, Matt Carpenter played right field. Who cares?
That's a good point. Ahmed Rosario can play right field.
Do you want to know some of the... Jake Bowers played left field for the Yankees. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't care. Juan Soto played right field for the Yankees.
Jake Bowers.
Who cares?
Oh, the Mets lost again tonight, by the way.
No, they won. They got it.
Oh, they won or they lost?
Yeah, they came back. They blew it, and then they came back. You probably just saw, like, your Twitter load up.
Who blew the game?
Oscar Brazoban. Okay, Devin did inherit a 3-run lead and was in a safe situation, gave up the first run, and had second and third two outs. So he almost blew that one. He still sucks, yes.
Yeah.
No, he didn't blow it, but he still stinks.
Okay.
Is what I'm getting.
We had a fun conversation today about it. I said that they should do what they did with him on the Yankees and just have him pitch the sixth inning.
They broke the winning streak doing something that the 24 Yankees did. Take your struggling closer and replace him with Luke Weaver. It's broken. It's the meta. When Luke Weaver, when no one expects Luke Weaver to be
exactly
good, he would be
incredible.
I know
exactly what you're going to say, dude. You were about to say some shit about Gambit. I know you were.
Don't worry about it. I can't because I'm spilling my secrets and then people are going to know how to play me, man.
Nah,
I can't
dude,
have that happen.
Let's get out of here, man. Let's end this thing.
We appreciate you guys tuning in so much on the Fireside Yankees podcast. Shout out to both Prize Picks and Aspen. We appreciate you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys in the next one. Peace out, everybody.
Perfect.